Chapter 13 Knowledge of the Field and the Knower. Verses 1 and 2.
Arjuna uvacha Prakritim purusham chaiva kshetram kshetragyamevacha etad veditum icchami jnanam jneyam cha keshava. Shri Bhagavan uvacha Idam shariram kaunteya kshetramitya vidhiyate. Etadyoveti tam prahuhu kshetragnya iti tadvidaha.
Arjuna said, I wish you to know your primordial nature, prakriti, and your conscious principle, purusha, the field and the field knower, knowledge and the knowable, O Krishna. The Blessed Lord said, O son of Kunti, this body is called a field. Who knows this, him, the experts in this matter, call the field knower. After imparting the knowledge of bhakti yoga, the yoga of divine love, Sri Krishna explains to Arjuna that the body is like a field that yields the ambrosial fruit. When the aspirant knows the importance of this field, and knows the difference between the field and its knower, he finally realizes the self. It is essential to have profound knowledge of the body and to look after it with utmost care. One who knows the importance of this body and knows that it is in the possession of Atman is wise indeed. Such an aspirant uses his body as an instrument to attain the purpose of life. In this chapter, the word kshetra, field, is used to signify the body, and kshetragya, field knower, the individual soul. It is the duty of every human being to fully know the field in the form of the body. The field is both an individual's body and the body of the Lord. When one is realized, he is aware that the whole universe is his body. The Lord alone is the proprietor of all the bodies in the universe, for He alone pervades all the bodies, and has profound knowledge of them. The infinite bodies of this universe are like the fields of one farmer, the Lord. There is nothing that is not known by the Lord. The inner dweller in the human body is Atman, which is eternal and infinite in its essential nature. When the aspirant realizes his true self, such a purusha, individual soul, becomes a purushottama, the best of souls, for he attains godhood. When the aspirant knows that there is no difference between himself and the universal form of the Lord, he realizes that he is Atman, and that the whole universe is his field. The same Atman that dwells within him dwells in all of the universe. The relationship between Atman and the body, the knower and the field, and that between Atman and the universe is the same. Every aspirant should acquire knowledge of this relationship. If that knowledge is not gained, one's knowledge is false knowledge or illusion. Ordinary human beings suffer because of such false knowledge. Sri Krishna explains to Arjuna that the body is like a field, and the individual soul is the knower. Only the knowledge of both is considered to be true knowledge. Atman is the Lord of the body. As the beads of a necklace have a thread that passes through them, so the multifaceted universe has the universal self running through and sustaining it. Body and individual soul are related to one another in the same way that prakriti is related to purusha. The universe is the outcome of two fundamental principles of one absolute without a second. Purusha, consciousness, and prakriti, primordial matter. From prakriti and purusha, all the animate and inanimate forms of the world are born, maintained, and destroyed. Nothing can exist without the Lord's prakriti. All the manifestations in the universe are diverse forms of prakriti. Verses 3 and 4.
Kshetrajnyam chapi mam viddhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. Kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam yet tat jnanam matam mama. Yet kshetram yetcha yadrakcha yet vikari yetascha yet. Sacha yo yet prabhavascha tat samasena me shrunu.
Know me, O descendant of Bharata, as the field knower in all fields. That which is the knowledge of the field and of the field knower, I hold that to be the true knowledge. What that field is, of what kind, causing what products, and produced from what, and of what power and effect it is, hear that from me briefly. When the aspirant attains profound knowledge of both Atman and the body, jnana and vijnana, he is fulfilled. In Upanishadic philosophy, that knowledge is called the knowledge of discrimination, through which one knows the difference between the real self, Atman, and the temporal, mundane, or apparent reality of the phenomenal world. That knowledge should be imparted early in life, so that one can know life as it is. During ancient times, the serious student, called a brahmachari, lived in an ashram and practiced celibacy until the age of 25. He devoted himself to learning that knowledge with a one-pointed mind. Different words have been used to designate that knowledge, but the knowledge of the self and non-self, of Atman and the phenomenal reality, of Purusha and Prakriti, of knower and the field, is one and the same. In the Brahma Sutra, the same knowledge that is imparted here is described in a well-preserved and conclusive manner. Many sages of the past have also expounded that knowledge in various ways. Verses 5 through 7.
Rishibhir bahudha gitam chandobhir vividai prutak Brahma Sutra padaischaiva hetu madbhir vinischitaihi. Mahabhutanyahankaro buddhir javyaktamevacha indriyani dashaikamcha pancha chendriya gocharaha. Icha dvesha sukham dukham sanghatas chetana dhritihi etat kshetram samasena savikaram mudakhritam.
As sung by the sages variously and by manifold Vedic mantras in different ways, as well as by the words of the sutras that teach about Brahman, and that are definitive and logical. The five great elements, ego, intelligence, and the unmanifest, the 10 and 1 senses, as well as the 5 pastures of the senses, desire, aversion, pleasure, pain, the whole organism, awareness, sustenance, this is illustrated briefly as the field, together with its products. In these verses, Sri Krishna lists all of the components of Prakriti, the field. They are the constituents of the human body and the universe, earth, water, fire, wind, and space, ego sense, intelligence, non-manifest Prakriti, the senses of smell, taste, sight, touch, and hearing, the mouth, hands, feet, and the organs of procreation and excretion, mind, the 5 objects of the senses, smell, taste, form, touch, and sound, desire, hatred, pleasure, and pain, the organism, aggregate of all, sentience, and sustenance. With these last 7 entities, Prakriti becomes 31-fold, and that 31-fold Prakriti is called the field. All of its constituents go through modification and change by intermixing, and are thus able to create different forms. These modifications are constantly changing into various forms. They are the components from which the universe is built. Verses 8 through 12.
Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsak shantirajavam. Acharyo pasanam shaucham sthairyam atma vinigraha. Indriyartheshu vairagyam anahankara evacha. Janma mrutyu jara vyadi dukha doshanudarshanam. Asaktir anavishvangaha putradara gruhadishu. Nityam cha samachittattvam ishta nishtopapattishu. Mai cha nanya yogena bhakti ravyabhicharini vivikta desha sevitvam aratir jana samsadi. Adhyatma jnana nityatvam tattva jnanartha darshanam etad jnanam iti proktam ajnanam yad atonyatha.
Absence of self-praise, freedom from hypocrisy, non-violence, forgiveness, simplicity, service to the teacher, purity, stillness, self-control. A dispassionate attitude toward the objects of the senses, as well as the absence of ego. Observing the flow of painfulness in birth, death, old age, and illness. Freedom from attraction. Freedom from attachment toward progeny, spouse, home, and so forth. And ever remaining even-minded when confronted with desirables or undesirables. Undeviating devotion toward me, with single-minded yoga, fondness for solitary places, not delighting in gatherings of people. Always dwelling in spiritual knowledge, insight into the meaning of true nature. This is said to be knowledge. Other than this is ignorance. These verses focus on putting knowledge into practice. To merely know something intellectually is not to have profound knowledge of it. We all know what to do and what not to do, but we do not know how to actualize that knowledge. Each of us understands certain fundamental truths about how to live, yet we do not know how to put them into practice. It is important to understand those truths from a practical viewpoint. In childhood, one is instructed in all the fundamentals, to be good, nice, kind, and gentle. Yet he is not taught how to bring them into practice. Practicing truth is different from learning to know truth. These five verses describe qualities that are systematically developed in the path of yoga. Pride, conceit, and thoughts of hurting and injuring others are characteristics of the ignorant. Kindness, gentleness, love, forgiveness, straightforwardness, service to one's elders and preceptors, and the steady practice of spirituality are the virtues and characteristics of the wise aspirant. If those qualities are lacking, one remains ignorant. All the virtues and weaknesses should be understood, and the virtues should be cultivated with all sincerity and firmness of will. The student should practice these principles, which will enable him to expand his consciousness and to fathom the higher levels of consciousness. Then he is clearly treading the path of spirituality. For example, if one wants to practice loving others, he should understand and practice ahimsa, non-harming, non-injuring, and non-hurting. If he is still running after sense enjoyments, craving the pleasures of the world, attached and haunted by worldly desire, then he is ignorant. That is not the path of spirituality. The first step of knowledge makes one aware of his shortcomings, and in the second step, he learns to remove them. In the third step, he acquires virtues, like ahimsa, which is the singular expression of love. In the fourth step, one completely abstains from those actions that are injurious to his growth. Those who have firm faith in the inner dweller and who devotedly love the inner dweller, Atman, as the Lord of life, are not attached to spouse, children, or home. When one attains evenness, he loses all attachments to externals and strengthens his love for the true self alone. Such an aspirant isolates himself and devotes his time and energy towards spiritual sadhana. He prefers to be in meditation and to remain in the company of the sages. But those who scratch the surface of the mundane world with their hearts filled with desires and who are not aware of the true self within are ignorant. By studying the behavior of both the sages and the ignorant, one can see that their paths are totally opposite. One is the path of light, and the other the path of darkness. One is the path of knowledge, and the other is the path of ignorance. A person's behavior reflects certain characteristics that indicate whether he is knowledgeable or not. By studying human behavior, how one talks, thinks, and acts, we can understand who is on the path of knowledge and who is not. Kindness, forgiveness, non-attachment, and self-control are characteristics of the knowledgeable, whereas pride, conceit, hatred, egotism, attachment, and the desire for worldly enjoyments are characteristics of the ignorant. Verses 13 through 17.
Neyam yattat pravakshyami yajnyatva amritam ashnute anadimat param brahma nasattan nasaduchyate sarvataha panipadam tat sarvatokshi shiromukham sarvataha shrutimalloke sarvam avritya tishtati sarvendriya gunabhasam sarvendriya vivarjitam asaktam sarvabhruchyaiva nirgunam gunabhoktrucha bahirantascha bhutanam acharam charameva cha sukshmatvat tadavigneyam durastham chantikechatat avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam iva cha stitham bhuta bhartru cha tadneyam rasishnu prabhavishnu cha.
That which is the worthy object of knowledge I shall teach you, knowing which one attains immortality. It is beginningless, supreme Brahman, which is said to be neither existent nor non-existent. With hands and feet in all directions, with eyes, heads, and faces in all directions, having ears everywhere, he dwells covering everything in the world. Appearing as though having attributes of all the senses, yet devoid of all senses, unattached, yet bearer of all, free of gunas, yet receiver of gunas, immobile, yet moving inside and outside beings, unknowable because of its subtlety, it dwells far and is near. Undivided in the beings, yet remaining as though divided, bearer of all the beings is that object of knowledge, the consumer and also the creator. There is an Upanishadic prayer that states, "Lead me from the unreal to the real, from darkness to light, from mortality to immortality." Since ancient times, man has been seeking immortality, something permanent, not darkness but light. The human being is striving to attain immortality, but he does not find anything immortal in the external world. The interior researcher knows that immortality resides in the depths of every human being. To attain that, the aspirant should first dive into the deepest level of his being. The highest of truths is beyond all comprehension by the human senses and mind. One should not waste his time and energy searching outside for that which is deeply buried within the tomb of the human body. That which is imperishable, unchangeable, without beginning and end, completely unattached and shining with all its splendor, resides in its glory, all-pervading power and majesty, both within and without. It is very near and yet very far, undivided yet appearing to be divided. It is the only one to be known, for it is the highest self, remaining ever present in the inner chamber of every being. The student should practice to attain the profound knowledge of the highest Lord, from mortality to immortality, from the temporal to eternity, is the only way of realizing the truth. In this inward path, the student first learns to be non-attached, to have a one-pointed mind, and to remain content. This inward journey finally leads the aspirant to the abode of immortality. Verses 18 through 21.
Jyotishamapi tajyotistamasa paramuchyate jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam hrudi sarvasya vishtitam. Iti kshetram tatha jnanam jneyam choktam samasataha madbhakta etad vijnaya madbhavayopapadyate. Prakritim purusham chaiva vidyanadi ubhavapi vikaranscha gunanschaiva viddhi prakriti sambhavan. Karya karana kartritve hetuhu prakriti ruchyate. Purusha sukhadukhanam bhoktritve hetu ruchyate.
That light of lights is said to be beyond darkness. The knowledge, yet the object of knowledge, the goal of knowledge. It is established in the heart of all. Thus, briefly, I have stated the field, as well as knowledge, and the objects of knowledge. Knowing this, my devotee becomes ready for becoming me. Know the primordial nature prakriti, as well as the conscious principle purusha, both to be beginningless. Know the gunas, as well as the products, vikaras, to be born of prakriti. Prakriti is said to be the cause in the matter of effect, instrument, and agency. Purusha is said to be the cause in apperception of pleasures and pains. When the aspirant understands the temporal and the absolute, the field and the knower, he attains the highest state of truth. Compared to the knower, the self, the field, the body, does not last for a long time. But that does not mean that the aspirant should not understand the body, or that he should ignore it and not look after it. For the kshetra is the field of action through which creativity, arts, and the sciences find their expression. It is important to understand both units of life, the temporal, body, breath, senses, and mind, and the self. The yogi should learn to keep his body healthy so that he can attain the goal of life. Knowledge and the field of its expression should be understood clearly. The body can become a means, but if not looked after, it can create a stumbling block and barrier. Loving the self does not mean ignoring the body any more than loving someone means hating others. Our master used to say that the real self should be loved, but at the same time, hatred should not be created for the body. When the student goes to the deeper levels of his being, there is a tendency to ignore the body. But he should not forget that a healthy body is always a means, whereas a sickly body demands the attention of the sadhaka and interferes with his practice. Both a healthy body and a sound mind are essential for the sadhaka. Sri Krishna reminds Arjuna that Purusha and Prakriti, the Lord and His power of manifestation, are ancient and without beginning. The student should know the modifications arising out of Prakriti and should know that effect and cause reside together in the causal form in Prakriti. When the individual soul becomes attached to the desire to experience pleasure, it also experiences misery, for in the absence of one, the other exists. These two pairs of opposites arise from a single cause. That which is the cause of pleasure is also the cause of misery. Verses 22 and 23.
Purushaha prakritisthohi bhungte prakritijan gunan karanam gunasangosya sadasadyonijanmasu upadrashtanu mantacha bharta bhokta maheshwaraha paramatmeti chapyuk.
The conscious spirit, Purusha, only dwelling within Prakriti, perceives the prakriti-bound gunas. The cause of his birth in the good and bad bodies is his connection with the gunas. Close observer, consenter, bearer, and experiencer is the great sovereign. The supreme spirit in this body is also called the supreme self, Paramatma. In these two verses, the student is asked to be a witness, exactly as one's real self is a witness. When the student practices meditation and withdraws the senses from the external world, his mind is not distracted and disturbed by the dissipation of the senses. But even at that stage, he has to encounter the flow rushing from the unconscious, which is the reservoir of all memories, impressions, samskaras, and merits and demerits of one's current and previous lives. How can one deal with such thoughts when they present themselves during meditation? If the meditator learns to observe his thoughts and all that comes from the unconscious, symbols, ideas, fancies, and fantasies, and does not become involved or identify himself with them, he can remain a witness. Without attaining that state, meditation is incomplete. The one who dwells in the heart of the cosmos is the same one who dwells in the body. In the individual body, he is the master, and he is the same master and knower of the universe. Just as one and the same space is in the cup, in the room, and outside, the all-pervading self is everywhere. When the student is firmly established in the knowledge that the inner dweller, Atman, the supreme self, resides in the body, and also knows the external, mundane, and temporal world well, then whatever actions he performs do not create bondage for him. The aspirant who knows the pure self, its manifestation, and its qualities, and then learns to live in the world, is free from the necessity of rebirth. Verses 24 through 26.
Ya evam vetti purusham prakritim cha gunaisah sarvatha vartamanopi nasabhuyo vijayate dhyanenatmani pashyanti kechid atmanam atmana anye sankhyena yogena karma yogena chapare anye tvevam ajanantah shrutvanebhya upasate tepi chati tarantyeva mrityum shruti parayanah.
He knows the conscious spirit Purusha, as well as the primordial nature Prakriti, together with the attributes, Gunas. Even though operating in every way, he is not bound again. Some see the self, by the self, within the self, through meditation. Others, by Sankhya, or by yoga. And yet others, by the yoga of action. Others, not knowing thus, worship upon hearing from others. They too, intent upon learning from others, yet certainly conquer death. Sri Krishna distinguishes between four paths and says that self-realization can be attained by each of those paths. On one path, the aspirant practices the yoga of meditation to attain samadhi. In that path, the journey from the gross self to the subtlemost self is trodden systematically by the Raja Yogis and Dhyana Yogis. These yogis practice Ashtanga Yoga, the eight limbs of yoga, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. Yama consists of five practices that help one relate to others with a sense of oneness, and Niyama is comprised of five practices that lead to self-purification. Asana helps one to prepare the body for meditation through physical postures. Through pranayama, one regulates the lungs, breath, and vital energy. Thus one prepares himself through his actions, postures, and breath to enable him to sit for meditation without being distracted by such things as the remembrance of deeds improperly performed, discomfort of the body, or irregular breathing. The aspirant next learns how to withdraw his senses, pratyahara, and then to concentrate his mind, dharana. Prolonged, one-pointed concentration leads to meditation, dhyana, and prolonged, steady meditation leads to samadhi. Other aspirants tread the path of knowledge. They study the scriptures attentively and contemplate on the teachings of the Upanishads, the Brahma Sutra, and the Bhagavad Gita. When their contemplation is strengthened by pure reason, their buddhi becomes discriminative, and they understand the difference between the pure self and the mere self. That is the path of knowledge, which finally leads the aspirant to self-realization. There is another group of aspirants who attain spiritual heights by performing their duties and dedicating all the fruits of their actions. They understand the nature of prakriti and its gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. They perform their actions without any attachment and thus reach the highest level of consciousness. The fourth group of aspirants is not learned. They depend on the teachings imparted to them by the sages, and they strictly follow that knowledge with full faith and devotion. Their path is the path of devotion and faith, and it is faith that leads them across the mire of delusion. Having a pure heart and unflinching faith, they reach the shore of life. Various are the paths followed by the many aspirants for attaining spiritual knowledge. All those who make sincere efforts reach the summit. Verses 27 and 28.
Yavat sanjayate kinchit sattvam sthavara jangamam, kshetra kshetragna sanyogat tadviddhi bharatarshava. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram, vinashyat svavinashyantam yapashyati sapashyati.
So long as any entities, moving or unmoving, are born, know that to be through the union of the field and the field-knower, O bull among Bharatas. Dwelling alike in all beings, the Supreme Sovereign, not perishing among the perishing things, he who sees him, he truly sees. Teaching the yoga of equanimity, Sri Krishna says to Arjuna that whatever we find in the world, animate and inanimate, is the creation of the self, Purusha, and its power of manifestation, Prakriti. The self is the knower, the supreme reality, and Prakriti is its field, the manifestation that we see in various names and forms all over the universe. All that comes into existence, whether sentient or insentient, arises from the union of Purusha and Prakriti. These two fundamental principles are the principles of the one absolute without a second. Purusha controls Prakriti as the body is controlled by its knower. This very Purusha is called Atman. Atman dwells equally everywhere in all things and beings of the universe. The aspirant who has the profound knowledge of the unchanging, everlasting, and eternal knows the truth. He sees truth everywhere and in everything. He remains undisturbed, for he has attained the state of equanimity. Verse 29.
Samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavasthitam ishwaram nahi nastyatmanatmanam tato yati param gatim.
Seeing the Lord dwelling in everyone equally, one does not violate the self by the self. Thereby he reaches the supreme state. All living beings and objects of the world appear to be distinct from one another, but in reality they are the modifications of one and the same truth. Distinctions in name, form, and size are only apparent and not permanent. There are countless ripples, waves, and bubbles in the ocean, but they are one and the same water. As there are innumerable rays of sunlight coming from a single source, the aspirant knows that the different modes of the objects of the universe arise from one and the same Brahman. ప్రకృత్యైవ
చ కర్మాణి క్రియమాణాని సర్వశః యః పశ్యతి తథాత్మానం అకర్తారం స పశ్యతి.
He alone who sees the self as not a doer, and who sees that all acts are performed by Prakriti alone in every way. The wise person knows that Atman is not the doer, that all actions are carried out by Prakriti. It is the material nature that is responsible for all the actions and happenings going on in the universe and in the individual. Atman remains the witness. One who has attained this knowledge has realized the self. Verses 31 through 34.
Yada bhuta prithak bhavam ekastham anupashyati tata eva cha vistaram brahma sampadyate tada anadittvan nirgunatvat paramatmayam avyayah sharirasthopi kaunteya na karoti na lipyate. యథా సర్వగతం సౌక్ష్మ్యాదాకాశం నోపలిప్యతే సర్వత్రావస్థితో దేహే తథాత్మా నోపలిప్యతే యథా ప్రకాశయత్యేకః కృత్స్నం లోకం ఇమం రవిః క్షేత్రం క్షేత్రీ తథా కృత్స్నం ప్రకాశయతి భారత.
When he observes the separate being of all beings, united in one, and all expansion from the very same, then he becomes Brahman. Being devoid of attributes, this supreme self, Paramatman, though dwelling in the body, O son of Kunti, neither acts nor is tainted by action. Just as the all-pervading sky is not tainted in its subtleness, similarly, this Atman dwelling everywhere in the body is not smeared. Just as the single sun illuminates this entire world, so the field owner illuminates the entire field, O descendant of Bharata. The highest self is the self of all, without any beginning or end, unborn and timeless. Therefore, it is eternal. A well-known prayer of the Upanishads says that the absolute truth is full, and if the full is taken from the full, that fullness is not diminished. If something is added to it, it still remains the same. Subtraction and addition do not create any change, for it is always full. The three qualities of sattva, rajas, and tamas are not in the self, for the self is beyond qualities and attributes. It is untainted by the manifestation of illusory forms that appear to be incomplete, in conflict, and in many cases, to suffer. It is not tainted by the defects or blemishes of the apparent reality. All actions are performed by the body. The self remains aloof and unaffected, free from all stains and impurities. Verse 35.
Kshetra-kshetragnayor-evam antaram jnana-chakshusha bhuta prakriti moksham cha ye vidur yanti te param.
Those who thus know with the eye of knowledge the difference between the field and the field knower, as well as the release from the primordial nature prakriti, which is the origin of elements, they reach the transcendent. Human eyes can only see so far. They have limited capacity and are bound by a limited horizon. But those who have attained intuitive knowledge have divine insight and can fathom all the levels of consciousness within and without. Such wise ones do not suffer from pride, egotism, or self-conceit, for their vision is not hindered by the limitations of the senses and the mind. The knowledge that flows through the ordinary mind is not pure and profound, but the knowledge that is received through divine or yogic insight is perfect. One should remember that such knowledge is not received bit by bit, but is received with all its profundity and fullness. That knowledge flows from its timeless and infinite source. It is called intuitive knowledge. Pure, unalloyed knowledge of the infinite alone liberates the aspirant from the cruel clutches of Prakriti. Such an aspirant is detached and performs his duties selflessly. He remains in boundless joy, always full of delight. We human beings are the children of eternity, infinite happiness and joy, and each of us can experience this true nature of ours. Here ends the 13th chapter, in which the knowledge of the self and the body, the universe and its knower, the supreme self, is described.